Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Foggy Friday version of the Shopping Show. Okay, Winston, you've got me on the delay. Thank you very much. All right, and joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Hard at work already at 8:15, Karen Diemer. Good morning. Are you there? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So we've got our question of this morning. Are you ready for us?
I am. All of you. I don't know.
No, that would be the audience and me.
Okay.
not a heck of a lot more than that. All right. Let's see if I can find something that's kind of an outdoorsy something. Military isn't too outdoorsy for you. All right. Here we go. Why do people say, let's talk turkey when they want to get down to serious business?
Wow. I don't know. Maybe because nobody ever remembers how to cook a turkey every year? I don't know.
Okay. The expression talk turkey is believed to have been explained in a report issued by the U.S. Engineering Department in 1848, which included the following account. Today I heard an anecdote that accounts for one of our common sayings. It's related to a white man and an Indian went hunting, and afterwards, when they came to divide the spoils, the white man said, "You may take the buzzard and I'll take the turkey," or "I'll take the turkey and you may take the buzzard." The Indian replied, "You never once said turkey to me." Let's talk turkey. Okay.
Let's talk turkey.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
Good. Nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You may always have the turkey.
Oh, really? You're not a tofurkey person, are you?
I would love to try somebody else's tofurkey, but I will not make one myself again.
Again? I heard that little addition there.
That's right. I have tried.
You have. Did it just kind of go into a blob?
Yeah, it didn't really look like food.
more.
Although I do work with tofu a lot. I am not dissing tofu. I love it, and I cook it regularly, just not in the shape of a turkey.
More like dog food, huh?
Use it in its own true form. That's right.
All right. Well, I'll just continue to ignore those invitations then on Thanksgiving. Oh, hey, we had a news story this morning that was referencing new manhole covers. What's that all about?
For the city of Arcata?
Well, yeah. I wouldn't be asking you about Merritt's situation in Fortuna.
I didn't know if nationally we were changing out the standard for manholes. Every year, the city works on our sewer system and works on, you know, areas that we've done paving, areas where we need to lift manholes. Those intersections, those junctions where pipes come in and out of manholes is often an area where you have cracks and leaks. So it's often an area that we go in and replace and maintain. So we do have an annual sort of manhole project that is out for bid right now.
So this is pretty routine stuff then?
Yes.
How many? Yeah. Okay, here's a trivia question that I can't even get close to. How many manhole covers are there in the city of Arcata?
That is a great question. Maybe that should be your listener's question today, and I could give a prize for the closest number. I would only be guessing.
Okay. Hundreds or tens?
It would definitely be over 100. I would, on a whim, guess 250.
Oh, okay. So they're...
Next month, I'll tell you how close I was.
But it's a significant number, you know, if you're having to rotate those things out. And you never think about, you know, those things.
Yeah.
They don't wear out or anything.
Those are the access points to the sewer system, right? So if you have a leak or a break and you're going in to camera or to check something or to plug something, you know, you're working through those manholes. So I could have underestimated our number. But
have you ever been down one of those shafts?
Only once. The small ones.
What's that like? You know, in the movies, you see it. Somebody drops in, and there's, you know, you drive a tank through it. And I suspect that's probably not the case.
Yeah. What you see in the movies, and maybe some of that was old sewer, but mostly you see stormwater systems that, you know, take rainwater. So our sewer manholes are not like that. They are just straight down, and then you see lateral pipes going out. You're not crawling through them, walking through them by any stretch of the imagination.
And then you just run the little machine with the wheels,
yeah,
and just kind of a video game, so to speak, and drive around,
yeah,
and look.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of like a video game.
Well, yeah, I mean, for most of us that haven't crawled down and are not in the public works department, that we need some kind of an analogy we can reference.
Right.
Yeah. Just like the ants. Oh, well, that's pretty happy, too. Okay.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, some of the different challenges since last we got together. Housing obviously has taken a huge high profile in the last 6 weeks or so with some of the proposed activities in Eureka. What kind of situation are you seeing in Arcata? Are people taking out building permits? Are you getting the housing starts? Are things kind of humming along like historically would have been occurring for Arcata?
We have seen since the beginning of the pandemic, we did see an increase in building permits overall. I think last year we closed to just a little over 500 building permits in the city. Not all of those are new housing. A lot in the pandemic were remodels. But what we are seeing now is quite a few second units, what we call accessory dwelling units on a parcel, that are coming forward to be constructed. And then what we're seeing is several vacant parcels that have, you know, potential housing zoning overlay on them that have been vacant for a long time and on the market. We're seeing several of those get picked up and purchased. So we anticipate an uptick in construction there. We'll be bringing 44 units of affordable housing on with what's called the Sorrell Place, the old Isaacson's car lot here in Arcata, right in the downtown area that Danco is constructing right now. And then we have probably at least about another dozen right now that are in construction as far as new units. So for Arcata, it's been steady. It's really been steady for the last 4 or 5 years. In terms of housing, we had a few big ones along Foster Avenue when Kramer put in the 142 units up there a couple of years ago. But we are still seeing steady housing. It had quite a bit of media associated with it, but the city did annex a couple of properties out on Foster Avenue. So a good portion of that is zoned and ready for housing. And then some senior living cottages as well.
Now, is that why the annexation occurred, so that you could get the housing in there?
For housing.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. And it's why that property had been in the city's general plan for even prior to this general plan, so for over 20 years, because of the need for housing build out for a really long time in Arcata.
So as you see all this construction and you're feeling all this activity, Angie and I were driving back, I forget from where, but the conversation is still in my mind. Where are all these people that are looking for these houses coming from if our population in the county is pretty static? Are we seeing growth and it just hasn't shown yet in the census? Where are these people that are occupying these homes and these new apartments coming from if we're not seeing growth reflected in the numbers? of population.
Yeah. Well, speaking, you know, here in Arcata, we were really at a peak when HSU was at its peak enrollment, you know, mm-hmm. about 4 years ago. And then as HSU saw those initial declines in enrollment, we did see, you know, a softening of the market. We see it last. You know, I think that, you know, typically students move closer and closer to campus, so Arcata sort of feels that decrease in enrollment last. But we certainly did feel it. But I will say that when the pandemic hit, we saw a lot of people that were moving out of the cities and moving up into this area. Now, whether or not that will be a permanent residence now for these individuals, or whether it will be, you know, shorter term and they'll be vacating some of those spaces and they'll be back on the market, we've obviously seen a tremendous increase in housing cost. And we've seen houses that, there isn't a house in Arcata that's on the market for much more than a week right now. So, in fact, the last month, what we've been hearing, getting quite a few calls from, are longtime renters that are in units that have now been sold, and they're looking for housing and unable to find it. So Arcata, anyway, is really at the same crunch that we were probably close to 5 years ago. And we are looking at, you know, the exciting upgrade of HSU to a Cal Poly.
How does that project for you guys, with as far as housing specifically?
Right. So it is a tremendous number of students. So we are, fingers crossed, it looks like it's holding at about the $313 million in the state budget to come up and help support construction associated with, you know, building out the Cal Poly Humboldt.
You're saying that like it flows off your lips already.
It does. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, it is so exciting for this region.
Why wouldn't we call it Cal Poly Arcata or Cal Poly Humboldt rather than Humboldt State? I mean, I'm thinking of SLO and Poly Pomona and, you know, the geographic thing. Yeah. I wonder if
I'm sure there will be a debut of the official name, but in the interim. But, you know, a good portion. Our governor is really pushing housing everywhere. So, you know, most of the dollars coming out of his budget anyway are really earmarked towards housing. So a good chunk of that will be going to building housing units to help support the increase in student population. All of those will not be in Arcata, right? They will be in, you know, throughout at least the Humboldt Bay region.
More dorms also? Will there be more on-campus housing?
Yes, they do. They actually, the university has been working on a design. It's been a kind of a redevelopment of their health center, removal of some of the old dorms, sort of reconstruction and expansion of dorms on campus as well. So, yeah, it'll be on and off campus. It'll be in Arcata and in communities surrounding Arcata. But it does. I mean, that is a real welcome portion of them trying to be able to build out for this region to meet the needs of that population growth.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata's very own city manager, Karen Diemer. Karen, the concept of a Cal Poly, obviously it's got things, you know, pretty excited and very cool stuff, but what is the process? Is there a lot of interaction with the city, or is this something that's going through the State Department of Architecture and the folks at Humboldt State, and it's, you know, they may let you in, but you're really not part of that process?
Yeah. Well, I'd probably flip it. Like, the university's staff and faculty are doing the heavy lifting in terms of the proposal. So from the point of the city weighing in and the community weighing in, They've had a number of meetings and entry points, and they reach out to us constantly for support in terms of, you know, brainstorming on what are the fields, what are the technical trades, what are the majors, what are the potential master's projects, where are real strong connections for internships in the community that we should be building majors around to be supporting local industries. So the university has done a lot of that outreach in terms of getting insights from the community, but it is the university itself that has, in essence, been asked to put together a proposal by the Chancellor's Office to present to the Board of Trustees to get approval for the type of ongoing funding that would be needed to support a Cal Poly here.
Now, I would suspect that there's a certain predefined area where they could have majors just because of being a polytech. I mean, you can't probably have a major in basket weaving, to use the oft-used one, because that's not technical particularly. But like computers and computer sciences and architecture and civil engineering and things like that that they put more of an emphasis on, is it going to be a new type of curriculum that's offered, or is this an addition to what historically has been taught? Hello? Uh-oh, did we lose Karen? I guess we'll just take a break here, and then we'll come back and see if we can reestablish contact. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:38.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the change into the polytech, what is that going to mean, not only with the curriculum, but into the community also? Are we going to see a lot more? Are we going to see more of the same, or are we going to see changes?
We're going to see a few changes. We're going to see more students. We're going to see more academic programs, right? So the university has done a really good job of reaching out to the community industries to say, where in this local region, what industries do we have that can support student internships, student work, graduate work? And so I think we're going to see, a lot of new majors, certainly around the engineering field, even around the cannabis field, that are supported by our local economy. The heavy lifting to pitch this proposal to the Chancellor's office. It's anyone's prediction as to whether or not, ultimately the proposal will be accepted by the Board of Trustees, but it certainly seems like there is a lot of support, especially with the governor weighing in on financial support, not only one-time monies, but the governor has indicated some long-term financial support for the Polytech up here in the North Coast as well. So,
is it in the budget?
It is, at this point, still in the budget. Yep. Okay. We are at, I think, an initial investment of $313 million right now, but we'll see when that final budget comes out by the end of the month.
Now, I seem to recall that that there's been a little bit of an impasse with the budget. Is that accurate?
What it appeared to be they put out on the 15th was, kind of sometimes what they just call the bare bones budget, what they need to do to be in compliance with our state code in terms of passing their budget, and they will fill in some of those details coming forward. But I think the majority of the substantial programs are set, and we are again seeing some great little pots of money for the North Coast, large monies for us, and then we're seeing a lot of money for housing, in the budget as well.
So with the specter of the recall going on, that isn't going to affect this budget because the budget will already have been passed and those dollars allocated?
Yeah, this budget will have already been passed.
So as Arcata is looking to prepare, I've heard another 5,000 kids, 6,000, something in that neighborhood on top of what's there. So now Humboldt is, let's call it a 15,000 to 20,000 student body.
Right.
Obviously, there's going to be huge impacts, not only to Arcata, but to McKinleyville, Eureka, Trinidad, and, you know, Blue Lake, a bunch of these other communities. Are we ready?
We're not ready for that population yet, right? It's hard enough for somebody to find a place here in Arcata today. We're seeing students come into town now, prepping already for the fall to get into housing. But the city is this year, you know, working to finalize what we call sort of a strategic infill plan, looking at where we have existing even light commercial, light industrial, industrial general properties, and looking at mixed use zoning. Where is that appropriate in Arcata? How can we start to build units in a way that also holds with our community vision? So even this Saturday, we're doing a walking tour for community members from what we call sort of the K Street, the Gateway Corridor, which is sort of from downtown all the way, like around, like K Street being the center line of it, and then working predominantly west of K Street, but also a little bit east of K Street. There is a lot of potential. We have a lot of underutilized properties in Arcata. We have some vacant properties, but we do have a lot of underutilized properties that could be fill-in, so, not only for housing, but for lab and instructional space as well for the university.
So if we use regular guy language here for just a moment, are you talking about the Beaver Lumber site? That complex there, because that's certainly a large footprint, access on two main drags relatively easily. I would think that would be prime time.
Yeah, so like north of Samoa and west of K Street, there is, if you start to really walk and look through there, there's a lot of vacant property still in that region.
So would the school then be acquiring that, or are you just looking to make it easier for some of the preferred development to occur on those sites? Which way does that play out?
I think the majority of it is still going to be private development. I mean, that's how we have historically supported HSU and housing in the past. I also think that the university, especially through monies coming from the state, will take a more active role in ensuring, you know, some level of what I'll call student purpose-built housing. So it's maybe not like a traditional dorm, but it is a complex that's sort of dedicated to students. They may be, you know, one-bedroom, two-bedroom studios. There may be, you know, individual bedroom units and a shared kitchen facility. And then some level of supports from the university. So whether that's programming on site, some food on site, shuttles to and from the university, depending on where it is. But this concept of kind of student purpose-built housing that could be operated by a private company or operated by the university, but we're certainly seeing that in the majority of other college towns in the nation.
So running a shuttle wouldn't be part of the AMRTS or the HTA and public transportation
be.
In the area?
It could be, or it could be run through the university. I mean, we'll probably keep it. We really only have the bus system that we have because of the university,
right?
Here in Arcata. So it very well would probably coincide with that AMRTS system. But again, just in that partnership with the university and likely predominantly paid for by the university.
Oh, yeah. Likely?
Well, like the associated students, you know, they have a fee. So
right.
The Jack Pass, right? So students ride the bus for free because they make that large one-time, you know, payment every year to the city for operation support.
No, it's just, I'm listening to what you're saying. I guess is the simplest way. Hey, couple of other things. Now, we're hearing that the city of Arcata is considering or looking or exploring, I'm not sure where it is in the stage, of having a large paved area for some of those, the campers that are coming into the area that aren't, they're not the Winnebagos that we see going around. These are the ones that are coming here and just kind of expiring, staying static. I mean, they're not really being mobile in their mobile use. And I don't know what the proper phrase is for that population base. But is that something that is just rumor, or is the city actively looking at some kind of a facility for these folks to park?
Yeah, we have been looking for a while. We call them just a safe parking program, and whether it's a camper or whether it's just a car or a van, an area that would have, you know, garbage and toilet facilities, you know, hopefully running water, would offer a little bit of support for people that are, you know, don't have money to get into housing yet but have a vehicle to work from. We haven't identified a site, and we haven't identified operational dollars for that yet. The monies are starting to change. You know, during the pandemic, we saw money come forward that would fund the support of an emergency tent shelter, right? We no longer have access to money like that. There aren't state and federal funds that typically would fund that kind of sheltering. So we tried it when they had money to do so. The county is actually putting out what's called a request for information, because I think one of the things that we've identified is that we don't have capacity in the county region right now to operate these real low-barrier shelters, whether they're a safe parking area or whether they're a tent shelter or whether they're like a shed shelters that you see pop up that certainly would be better suited here on the North Coast when we get into the winter to not be in a tent situation but at least have some hard shelter as a roof. But we don't have operational support and expertise up here. So the county is putting out a large call to see if there are people within, say, the North Bay region that might be interested in coming up here to operate low-barrier shelters for a period of time countywide. So we would identify each city would be the responsibility would be on us to identify a location. But then we would have uniform and connected to county services, actual operations of them. You know, that's
and security. Security would come associated with that as well.
Yep, and security. They really require 24-hour security, fencing, locking at night to keep people safe inside. You know, there's certain things that we've learned. Oregon has done this for a lot of years, with some success. So looking at their models. But they're expensive.
There you are using that word, with some success.
with success.
Okay, I think it's time for you to take another shot at your tofurkey. I don't know.
I
think that's where we started. I think that's where we're going to end here.
There we go.
All right. Nice talking to you. See you next month.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Karen.
On the plaza, Saturday, 2 to 7, celebrate Juneteenth with our community.
Thanks. See everybody tomorrow.